We're into the final set of group matches at Euro 2020. It is time to deliver. Today, the focus is on Group A, with Wales in a pretty position as they face Italy in Rome. I'm Kevin Hatchard, and this is Football Only Better. Jones to my Engelbert Humperdinck. Mark O'Hare is here with all the best bets and insight. Mark, let's start with Wales against Italy. Wales are 8-1 outsiders here, with Italy the odds on favourites. No big surprises there, but Wales have been ever so impressive. They kind of hung on a bit against Switzerland at times, but against Turkey, the big name players that Wales have, Aaron Ramsey and Gareth Bale, really did deliver.
Yeah, absolutely. I was pro Wales coming into the tournament because they're normally quite obdurate and very organised and very difficult to beat. And more because they had the game changers in the final third in what was expected to be a really tight group outside of Italy. I didn't see it in certainly Switzerland's squad or Turkey's. Turkey did have a few game changers, but you know, world-class players like Gareth Bale and Aaron Ramsey, and we didn't really see them influence the game against Switzerland in the opener, but certainly against Turkey, they came to the party, because whilst they won deservedly so 2-0, those two even missed three golden opportunities between them as well, which could have made the scoreline even more favourable. Then you've got Dan James, who's been really, really exciting on the flank and in the counter-attack as well. So they're getting the balance just right against Turkey in terms of contain and counter. They're a real danger for teams. So yeah, really, really delighted to see them progress. But this is a difficult game to kind of approach, really, because we've got Wales, who are pretty much qualified, Italy, who are qualified. Obviously, that's quite a simplistic way to look at things, but Italy were pretty flawless in their first two games, a couple of injuries, but I actually think the injuries may have actually helped the team longer term. I think Acerbi or Bastoni at centre-half alongside Bonucci is better for the team. I know you lose Chiellini's experience and leadership, but he hasn't had the greatest domestic campaign with Juventus, so I don't see a significant downgrade there. And then Di Lorenzo at right back, I think, offers a bit more than Florenzi these days as well. So I guess the conundrum is, how seriously are Italy going to take this game? Because 5 years ago under Antonio Conte, they secured qualification, went into the final group game against Ireland and Lille, rested and rotated, and Ireland won that game 1-0 to burgle a place as a third place team into the knockout stage. Clearly, we've got a different coach here with Mancini. He might be keen to build momentum. We just don't know, really, but I'd expect changes. Verratti played 20 minutes in a friendly against Pescara's youth team. Belotti might be given a run. You've got the likes of Chiesa and Bernardeschi, who are desperate for an opportunity to start. So, it does change your mindset coming into this game. And suddenly, if they do make those changes, maybe Wales do look like an option here at 8-1. Because, you know, going down previous European Championships, it is rare for teams to go 3-3 in the group stage. Only eight nations have got maximum points since Euro 96 started. That's 31% of all group winners hitting 9 points. So, you know, I look at that Italy price, considering they are 1.75 against Switzerland, maybe there's an opportunity there to lay Italy or oppose them in some way. But in all honesty, I don't want to be that guy. But at the moment, it's a no bet for me until I see the team sheets.
It's interesting though, Mark, isn't it? Because you've quite rightly said that they might rotate Italy. But one of the strengths I think there is in this Italy setup is that they do have a fair few interchangeable players. Like Berardi has been excellent so far, but if you took him out and put Chiesa in there, I think that's at least the same quality. I actually love Chiesa. I think he's great. So I think even better quality, maybe, although the Berardi fans will be on me for that. You take Immobile out. Immobile has made a great start to the tournament, but Belotti, I think, is a good option. Regular scorer for Torino, decent in the penalty area. I think Belotti's a good option. Locatelli was the kind of next best guy when Verratti went out. He's been sensational so far. So I just wonder how big a drop-off there actually will be, Mark.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely bang on there. I guess one lingering thing, and it's something I can't really quantify really, but we're now kind of entering week two of the major tournament, and most teams played their best 11 in their final warm-up game as well. So a lot of these players who are coming into the team haven't had a huge amount of football since the end of the league season as well. So it might take a while to get going. That's just a niggling doubt I normally have. But it's more just the mindset of, particularly 5 years ago with Conte, you know, there was a mindset from Italy, this doesn't really matter, just go out and get some minutes in your legs. maybe it will be different under Mancini. He's a bit more kind of straight-nosed in that sort of sense. He'll be desperate to get a win, I'm sure. But yeah, there's just enough doubts to sort of oppose that price for me. So, but yeah, I'd be interested to see what Stinch does.
Of course, the other thing as well is that if Wales win the game, they win the group. No thoughts of resting betting expert Mark Stinchcombe for the final set of group matches, even though we know we're all going to the knockout phase. Stinch, how do you see this one?
Yeah, I'm. It's quite interesting to approach a game when there's not the need for teams to win. So it does make it very tricky from a betting perspective. And I definitely think a good approach. I mean, the prices here aren't likely to move that much in terms of against Wales. So if you I guess most people will want to probably back Italy, having seen them win both games 3-0. It's unlikely that Italy's price of 4-9 is going to shorten. That 4-9 is there basically if they play the same team again. If they make some rotations, I would expect it to drift a little bit. So I think if you want to side with Italy, which would be the route I would go towards, then you can afford to wait until you know the lineups, I think. I was looking at Italy at 4-9. I was looking at the classic Italy to win and under 3.5 goals at 4-5 using the bet builder or 1.8. If Italy win this group, they play the runner up in Group C, which is probably going to be Austria or Ukraine. So I think that's quite a big enough carrot to dangle in front of them. And I also think it's massive. I think if they make loads of changes and they don't win, and this is in Rome, and the game, if they win the group, they'd play the next game at Wembley. I think they probably want to leave Rome on like a real positive high, especially after the way they've played so far. So I don't think Mancini will. I don't think he'll make wholesale changes. I think you're right. Like, pretty much light for light, like a Serbian for Chiellini, probably happen anyway. We've already seen the right back's quite interchangeable. I think you make a great point about Chiesa. He probably is an upgrade on Berardi. Verratti, I guess we'll probably see like 10-15 minutes from him. I think there's a lot of players in the Italian squad that will pretty much like can just slot in. So as long as he doesn't make, you know, I'd say anything more than sort of three or four changes, I think they'll continue with that same momentum. I mean, they've scored 29 goals without reply, winning 10 straight games. And I just think like that is so key to try and carry that on and build the momentum in the tournament. First game, I think it was, that since competitive games since the World Cup, they conceded in just 2.48 shots on target. Two games so far, they've conceded just one shot on target. Now, I know Wales have obviously got world-class players in the likes of Bale and Ramsey. And I really expected Wales to be quite tired on Wednesday night, because they looked well off the pace against Switzerland, and it was another game in Baku. But they were fantastic. I do have maybe slight reservations. Perhaps they left it all out there, because like that,
yeah,
you know, they're now.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
They're not completely qualified, but like it's 99% basically they've qualified. Or I was looking on Twitter after the game, and you can see Wales fans with the calculators out. but I think most people are of the opinion they're qualified. I don't think Wales themselves think they're qualified. That's why I think here they're going to try and keep things tight, sit back, not be as progressive as they were against Turkey. So I think the game does lend itself basically to unders, and the fact that Italy are going to monopolise possession. So yeah, Italy to win and under 4.5 goals. I mean, we saw under 3.5 goals at 4-5. We also saw against Switzerland just after the hour mark, Mancini started to rest and rotate the players, and with the five subs as well, I think that's going to help with disrupting the momentum in terms of if it's like 2-0 scoreline or 3-0 scoreline. I wouldn't expect to see late goals after that. So yeah, I think you can be clever here as a bettor and wait for the lineups, because the odds aren't going to move against you if you want to be on Italy's side, and that's probably a logical way into the game.
So Bet Builder there from Stinch. And remember, our fantastic multiples offer will be running every day throughout the Euros. Bet £20 on multiples or Bet Builders and receive a £5 free bet to use on multiples or Bet Builders. T's and C's apply. So that game's at 5, and so therefore is Switzerland against Turkey in Baku. Mark, poor old Switzerland have had to go to Baku, then to Rome, back to Baku. And the odds on here, but that's got to have a bit of an impact, hasn't it?
Yeah, you'd expect so. It's a lot of travelling. It's a 5-hour flight across 2 time zones, and people do say that crossing time zones is the key part really for recovery. The longer you go, the more difficult it is. So yeah, it's definitely something to bear in mind. Also, I think what's something to bear in mind is Turkey's mindset coming into this game, because you know, with 0 points and a -6 goal difference, it's going to take one hell of a turnaround to have any sort of chance of progression. You know, they're pretty much out already. So Switzerland are available.
They've been awful, Mark, haven't they?
they've
been really poor. I mean, let's be honest. We all said, didn't we? We fancied them. We thought they were going to do something. We thought that they'd make an impact. But there's been no plan in attack. They've just hoofed the ball up to Burak Yilmaz and hoped. The midfield hasn't really operated as we thought it would. The fullbacks have looked really dodgy, I think. It's just been a really, really poor display.
Yeah, it has. I did call a bit of interest before the tournament started after doing a bit more digging on them, because their underlying data suggested that they had been a little bit fortunate, particularly in March against the Netherlands and Norway with those results. But yeah, I mean, you've got an experienced coach there who's done it at a club at an international level. You've got 3 members of a remarkable Lille squad that have just won the Ligue 1. You've got solid centre-back options, a player that creates countless opportunities in Serie A in your playmaker role. The obvious weak link was left-back, but you know, you go back, they gave France 2 almighty matches in qualification, turned over the Dutch and Norway. You know, it was easy to see why people were calling them dark horses, but yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, they were desperate, really, really poor, lacking cohesion. The defensive press was all over the place. They looked laboured and sluggish and tired and lacking any sort of ideas. Just really, really disappointing. And there was echoes of Austria from 5 years ago in terms of being a dark horse, which just completely flopped when the tournament came around. So, yeah, Switzerland were evens to win this match immediately after the Turkey-Wales game, which has been clipped in quite significantly since then because of the Turkish approach really and being pretty much out of the competition. So I think Switzerland, I thought they might have been the fall guys in this group because they've not done anything extraordinary for quite some time. The squad's been pretty much the same. It looked like a tired bunch with key players either not fit or not firing. But Brila Mbolo's been the standout star, I thought. He's been really, really impressive and quite lively. But outside of that, you know, there's still not a huge amount to get excited about. But the carrot is there for Switzerland to go out and win this game and secure their place in the knockout stage. And I don't want to back Switzerland at odds on quotes at all, but I thought an interesting way in might be to back Switzerland to win the match and Turkey to collect over 1.5 cards, which was popped in both of Turkey's games. We saw them lose their cool against Wales late on. Saw a bit of frustration towards the end of the Italy game as well, when they picked up a couple of cards. We know they like a scrap, so if the Swiss can handle themselves in the situation, they should be able to get the job done, and Turkey might be willing to engage in a bit of physicality towards the end of the game, which will boost that price quite decently, up to around about 6-4, 2.5, I'd say.
And Stinch, which way would you go on this one?
Yeah, I agree with Mark. Couldn't go anywhere near Switzerland at the prices. This is a classic kind of overbet selection with a team that has that needs something against a side that. Yep, I mean, Turkey can still qualify, but I think most people, and probably most people within Turkey, accept that they're probably already out. I mean, regarding Turkey, yeah, they've not been great at all. Kind of touched upon them pre-tournament that we said they could be anything. I mean, they lost to Hungary and drew with Latvia, sandwiched in between those fantastic results against Holland and Norway. So that, you know, that's the volatility that we're kind of working with. But Switzerland, you know, the Baku, Rome, Baku thing, I think we could see its take its toll. you look at the likes of, I mean, Seferovic has got a fantastic goal scoring record in Portugal, but I swear he's just, he's a bad player. I don't understand why Gavranovic is not starting. He picked up a couple of hat tricks recently. He looks a lot more lively than Seferovic. Petrovic has kind of built the team around an unfit Shaqiri, who's barely played the last couple of years. Like you've got Fabian Schär in the centre of defence, who, again, I don't think is a very good player. They might be missing Jan Sommer. I think he's had to fly back home because his partner's about to give birth. So they might be without him.
That's right, yeah.
And the Swiss, you look at their players, they're like a golfer that always makes par. You know, they always get to the business stages of the group stage or are knocked out in the first knockout stage. That's where we're at. Whereas Turkey, as I already kind of said, they've got this like volatility with them. I mean, this century they've made two major semifinals and a quarterfinal. And as I say, whereas the Swiss, you just know what to expect with them. And you know, we touched upon the Holland and Norway results. They also beat France as well and got a draw away to France in qualifying. And Switzerland's best result in the last 2 years in competitive games is winning 2-0 in Georgia as a 4-6 shot. They haven't got that ceiling of beating quality teams. They've failed to beat any of Ukraine, Croatia, Denmark, Germany, England, Portugal, Spain or Belgium in the last 2 years across 11 games. So there's absolutely no way, as I say, we could get him on board with Switzerland at odds of 7-10. So I'm going to back Turkey at 7-2. I'm going to be bold and ride the wave of volatility that we could get in the last round of the group stage where anything could happen.
Wonderful news, because I'm going to take Stinch's example and I'm going to hurl that into our podcast treble. We've only got two games. Normally what we do is we'd have a selection from each of the three games and our traders wrap them up in a lovely boosted treble. I'm going to take two selections from what Mark's done. I'm going to back Italy to win, but back under 3.5 goals in that same game. And we're going to go crazy and we're going to put in Stinch's bet for Turkey to win. So we're going to hurl that in for you and our lovely traders will make that into a boosted treble. Don't forget to check out the daily boosted treble on the sportsbook, where you can boost the odds even further with your odds boost token. T's and C's apply. Well, that's all we have time for on Football Only Better. Please do remember to gamble responsibly. If you enjoyed the show, leave us a nice review with your usual podcast provider and subscribe if you haven't already. From Mark, from Stinch, and from me, it's goodbye for now.